Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's bring in Neil Coulong, sir. Always a pleasure.
Pleasure is mine, as always. I was not involved in a basketball fight last night, but I have covered events like that. It's interesting.
It's different when it happens. And I think, again, I thought those were a couple of student announcers working it, and they did the best they could. I mean, what's the last thing you expect is something like that. All right.
I was thinking Slapshot, you know. If the peanut vendors are standing up to them, if I wasn't up here, I'd be standing up to them.
You know where they film that? Johnstown.
Johnstown, right?
Yep, Johnstown. Yep, Jack Ham's hometown. Yep, the War Memorial.
Know what I'm watching tonight.
Yeah. The movie is actually really good.
It's classic.
Really good. In fact, since you're in Minnesota, the Carlsons or the Hansons? Hansons, right? They're the Hansons.
Hanson brothers. Carlson in real life.
In reality, they're the Carlson brothers, and they played in the WHA with the Minnesota Fighting Saints.
Yep. They talk about it often. They come by for autograph sessions, and everybody around here has probably seen him at least once. But the stories of that league, it's not to totally derail the conversation, but it's in my opinion, it's probably the best all-around sports movie ever made, mostly because no other sports movie is as authentic as that. When you hear the stories, obvious that their research was done entirely on making what happened out on the ice and off the ice applicable in real-life events. Like, all of it happened. And it's obviously done with a sense of fantasy involved, but it was like that.
It was
absolutely crazy.
And they got Paul Newman to be in it. Pretty good.
Genius.
Yeah. This is one of your fun times of the year because it's the off season. So let's start with the Steelers. And if you had to put together a laundry list in free agency to then set up the draft, what would your list look like?
The real uninteresting thing is that it's so scarily similar to last year. They through no fault of their own, and despite their very best efforts, they're still walking into the season with a question at inside linebacker. And, Landon Roberts goes down, that's unfortunate. Cole Holcomb goes down, that's unfortunate. They had problems at that position every which way they could have this year, and it would eventually hurt them down the stretch. They're going to need to find another one of those. I would imagine it's a priority come draft time, but, you're not sure. I haven't heard an update on Holcomb's injury. I'm not sure where he is with that process, but that wasn't a pretty injury. You know, he didn't tear his hamstring or anything. That was pretty bad. You hope he's able to come back because he was really starting to fit in. He was really starting to get it and playing good football. They did a great job patching together what they had, but you need the bodies. You know, I think that's a position they need to address probably twice. Both free agency and the draft, depending on what they want to do, how much they want to spend on it. But it's got to be a sore point at this point. It's been an obvious weakness for several years now. They've been hexed ever since Ryan Shazier went down. They've not been able to fill that position consistently or with outstanding quality. So to me, I think that's something they still need to do. They're going to have to address their cornerback room again. Joey Porter played very well, I felt, overall throughout the season with some growing pains in there. I don't think he was quite the all-around dominant player that he's made out to be by many, but he played very well, a lot to like for a young player, but they're not done there. They're going to need to you know, you've got a decision to make with Patrick Peterson. You've got, I think, a much easier decision to make with Levi Wallace. Shannon Sullivan, is he your guy long term? They're going to have to bring in some more bodies. That's not unusual for them. Safety, I think you saw real problems when DeMonte Casey went down. That's a position you're going to want to look at. It's tough to do that when you've got Minkah Fitzpatrick making the money that he's making and being the player that he is. But Keanu Neal is not an answer. They can't have Keanu Neal playing snaps. Pro Bowl selection Miles Killebrew is not supposed to be playing safety. He's supposed to be blocking punts. You don't want him in on playoff games. They're probably going to need some depth. That's another one, free agency and or the draft. I'm focusing almost entirely on defense, but you've got, you know, probably even more holes offensively. The one position, two of them I would say that are really pretty set for them, running back and tight end. They've done a good job identifying talent, keeping talent in those spots, but you probably need a starting center. I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of their first two draft picks, but they might go the veteran route there again. People won't like this, but I would imagine Dan Moore is the guy they want at left tackle next season. If they can do better at his price, which, believe it or not, is kind of hard to do, maybe they make a move there. But, you know, I think they're probably set. A new center, some interior depth is definitely going to help. But overall, the biggest question mark I think that they have is their direction at wide receiver. What are they going to do with Deontay Johnson? He's got a very unique contract. It was signed deliberately to kind of set up a pretty tough decision in 24. I don't know how tradable he is, but when you have a guy with a base salary of $7 million and a salary cap number of 15.8, he's completely upside down, and that's very tradable. It's just not very, awe-inspiring for Johnson. So if a team does trade for him, which I would, you know, I'm not going to say that that's likely, but that's absolutely an option. It's very attractive from a current contract perspective. What's his extension going to look like? That's what he's going to be asking. Who wants him and then wants to extend him? That's the question. And I believe they signed his contract to be exactly that. But how happy is he going to be playing for $7 million this year? I'm not sure he's going to be thrilled, but with a better quarterback, with better quarterback play, we saw more out of Johnson last year. But as you know, Steve, the one game we're not going to forget about is Cincinnati, when right. he was kind of bothered to notice that there was a live ball rolling right past him and never moved for it. I don't know how that doesn't infuriate a coaching staff, an ownership group, a team, to the point where we just don't want this guy here anymore. You know, win or lose, we want guys that are going to come in here and play hard. Can they find a veteran at his level of production for what he's making? No. His contract is so strange, it's not going to buy them a whole lot to cut him or trade him, unless you're bringing that back in assets, but then you're looking at a really young receiver room again. Allen Robinson's contract was never meant to be played into at this point. There's no doubt that's going to be restructured if he's not just flat out cut. I would lean toward him probably coming back, but you're missing a couple bodies in there. So that's another position I think they're going to need to address. And they need to get a guy that can play. You know, your quarterback position is probably not going to improve a whole lot from what we saw last season. Just call it a hunch. But you are going to need to bring in better playmakers, guys that can do a bit more outside of George Pickens with kind of an inconsistent run of games. Hopefully you can get more out of him in year three. I expect that they can, but they're still going to need somebody else to be more of a target eater outside the number, or I should say outside the hashes. Get that Z receiver that can play off of motion, that can be set up and make guys miss in the open field. I'm not sure if they can improve beyond Johnson in that regard, but I'm not sure that Johnson is the guy that you want in your huddle either.
All right, now the part you didn't bring up, which is not going to be on their radar, but I want to bring it up anyway. At the end of year two, Kansas City knew that Patrick Mahomes was their guy, At the end of year two, the Bills knew it was Josh Allen. At the end of year two, the Cowboys knew it was Dak Prescott. You know, I can go on and on and on here with guys. At the end of year two, the 49ers know it's Brock Purdy. Right? At the end of year two, what is your opinion on whether Kenny Pickett is the answer?
If you're asking the question today, it can't change. If we're locking it in place today, I'd say no. I mean, I don't know how you could answer otherwise. He is young in that sense, but he started a lot of NFL games. He's been around a lot of NFL games. The list of people that you just rattled off were the answer after 2 years, largely because they played at an elite level. You can't put the word elite anywhere near Kenny Pickett right now. So if that's the question that you're asking right now, I would say no. The secondary or follow-up question, though, that you have to ask is what can you do about it?
Right, and that is the question, because to me he has played more like a journeyman quarterback to this point and not an NFL like consistent starting quarterback.
Yeah, you can't think of it like this. They don't have to, and I know they're not going to, but they're not, I don't think they even can, actually. If they were eligible to sign him to an extension, would they? No. I mean, there's no way. That's your answer. So if he's not your, if you aren't sure if he is your guy, he's not your guy. That's the way I look at it. But
yes,
while everyone's clamoring for Justin Fields, I don't understand how Justin Fields is the answer either. If you're going to trade out one guy of similar production for one that, you know, can run the ball a little bit better, but otherwise has similar gaffes of vision, of judgment, I don't know what you're gaining from that, especially when you're giving up assets for it anyway. I think, honestly, the Steelers are going to kick the can because they can at this point.
Yes.
They don't really need to make a decision on Pickett now. He's the cheapest option that they've worked with. It's a new offensive coordinator that I'm pretty sure that the conversation of the quarterback came up when they were interviewing him. I would hope he has something of a plan, or they're going to go in a completely different direction that we don't know about right now. I don't think Arthur Smith was hired because the only way he was going to coach is if they traded for Justin Fields. I simply don't think that's going to happen. That said, really, it's Rudolph versus Pickett. And if you want to look at recent production, I think Rudolph has, you know, a little bit of an edge, to put it mildly. But Rudolph is now going to carry a price tag that the Steelers are not in a great position to pay, especially considering Rudolph, presumably his agent isn't stupid, and he's going to go into the negotiation saying, my guy beat out your top two quarterbacks last year.
Right.
You're going to pay me more than the backup got, which was a lot, and you're going to put it at a number that's going to ensure my guy is going to play, because the other guy that you benched him for is still there, and he's cheap.
Yeah.
So if that's still an option in your mind, I'm going to go somewhere else. If you want me to play here, if you want him to play here, he's your starter. This is our price. The Steelers can't really get into that. Not for Mason Rudolph. I mean, you know, being better than Kenny Pickett doesn't really ensure you NFL legacy. You probably need to have done a little bit more than what you did in three games. In other words, just out of, you know, it's unfair to characterize it like this, but circumstantially, Rudolph is worth more to the Steelers, or he should be, than he will be to anybody else.
And that's
right. Solely because they didn't play him.
Right.
So his agent is perfectly fine going to negotiate in what's the hottest market for backup quarterbacks the game has ever seen.
Yep.
He's perfectly fine going and talking to one of 22 other teams about his client services, as opposed to trying to deal with this phantom debate between himself and Kenny Pickett, which Pickett absolutely wins because of pedigree and because of contract. So unless they pay a premium for Mason Rudolph, which we would have laughed about saying a year ago, unless they're going to pay a premium for him, he's not staying in Pittsburgh. So Pickett's your guy just by logic. That's the way that I see it. But I've deduced things logically the last couple of years with Pittsburgh, and none of it has really come out the way that I thought that it would. It's a different time in Pittsburgh. We'll see what they do, but you know, for me, the easy money is Kenny Pickett's their guy next year.
Well, that's okay, because you were probably actually right in the end. Neil, thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate you. Always, always great. You're the best.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulon.